Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together. Alrighty, we're back. I just recorded one podcast. Now I'm segueing right into another one. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm still sitting in LA. I just cozied up in bed with the next podcast guest. And when I say cozied up in bed, I'm not even kidding. We literally got under the covers and we are starting this podcast. Please welcome Miss Choosing Chelsea to the podcast.
Hello, my little papayas.
Little papayas.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
You're part of my insider squad, so you know everyone calls themselves papayas and they always call me Mama Papaya, and I'm like, I like this.
I know, you're like my Mama Sarah. I mean, I don't think you're that much older than me.
It's fine. I end up being everybody's mom at every, like, even today we're at the beach and I'm like looking around. I'm like, did everybody get all their things? Did you forget anything? Do you have your sunglasses? Like, do you have your shoes?
Don't get hit by that wave.
Don't get hit by that. I'm just like, is that slippy? Don't hurt yourself. Like, oh, you just like the mom thing doesn't really ever go away. You just like channel it in different ways. Oh, it's like all I've ever known. So anyways, welcome to the show. We actually only knew each other from the gram. And then we just met up to, when I knew I was coming down to California, we ended up connecting and you actually drove down from like hours away to come and hang out today. I so appreciate you for that. That was like really, really kind of you. But I'm excited because now I get the cool opportunity to let people get to know who you are, because I feel like for me, it feels like everybody knows who you are, but it can be... there's a lot of people who probably don't, and I'm excited for them to kind of get to know you and see what amazing content you put out that has truly been honestly really helpful for me over the years. It's been such a joy to watch you over the last couple of years, but I truly don't know your origin story, because I think for myself, I came to find you when I was going through transitioning into like self-acceptance and body love, and I was just clinging to those accounts that were kind of showcasing that for me, but I don't even know how you even got into that space at all. So take a second. Or like 10 minutes, however long you need. Like, and you know. tell us your like story.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay,
I mean, I could do like the short little elevator pitch thing, but we can't really go much.
I don't get that term. What's elevator pitch?
You know, I hear it, but I don't think I do it right.
Okay, I'm like that too. I like to say things I don't understand all the time.
I know it's a thing.
It must be. It's an elevator pitch. Oh, maybe it's because you're riding in an elevator with somebody and you have like only that amount of time to like pitch yourself.
And you're trying to like elevate yourself?
No, I feel like it's literally good.
Maybe that's the origin story we should figure out.
I feel like it's because you're just in an elevator and you're just like, I need to pitch to this person.
While
I
only have elevator.
Until floor 13. No, that doesn't even exist. Floor 12 before they get out of the elevator. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's what you said and it's all about elevators.
I don't know. We'll have to Google that.
We're professional motivators, people. You have no idea.
Take that elevator. Pitch them.
Elevator pitch. So yeah, give us a long form. Give us a really long
elevator. Okay, I'm going to give you a long elevator pitch here. Okay, so my name is Chelsea. You might know me from Choosing Chelsea on Instagram. And if you look at my page now, it's very self-love, like overall wellness and body confidence, body acceptance, all that kind of good stuff. But I was not always like that. I was not always full of self-love. I actually was like a very sad adolescent being. I grew up, I never had a great relationship with either of my parents. I was always overweight. I was always heavy. And so that was such a struggle for me. Like, ever since I was a little girl, my worth and my value was tied to my weight. And since I was never at what I thought was an acceptable weight, I just like never thought I was worthy. And I literally just like hated myself. So this manifested in many ways. I was 12 and I was suicidal. I self-harmed and I kind of got out of that. But then I turned to other, like I was doing drugs in high school and just kind of like one thing after another to escape my reality. And mm-hmm. I kind of, always took myself out of those situations and somehow like fixed it on my own. But then I ended up meeting my now husband when I was 16. I was done with all the drugs and I was like in a pretty good place then. But then I shortly got pregnant when I was 17.
Surprise.
Surprise. You know, not quite expected. Didn't really know what I was going to do for a hot minute. Didn't end up telling my mom I was pregnant until I was 7 months pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
How did she find out?
Well, I told her.
Oh, I was going to say, like, how are you not showing?
I don't know. I was still heavy. And I don't know if that just, like, masked it. I wore, like, flowy clothes. I also wasn't really living there anymore. So I wasn't around as much. But I just didn't tell, like, anyone. Because it's at 17, so much judgment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I'm not even going to. Yeah. There's a lot. And it's sad because it's in that time where people truly need help and assistance mm-hmm. and support that people are just like, I'm just going to shake a shame stick at you instead and talk about your personal life. And so I can't even imagine. That's like such a story in and of itself. We'll loop back to that.
We'll get back to that. But that is a big piece of what shaped me. I ended up having my daughter. I graduated high school early. And through all of this, like, I still, like, my weight was always such a struggle. And after I had my daughter, I, like, kept eating as if I was pregnant. So I was getting up and up and up and up there. And I just want to say that I wasn't, like, a healthy overweight. I just, like, full-on fast food addict.
Uh-huh.
Fast food addict. It was bad.
It's an important thing to note that too, because a lot of times when people will challenge me that I didn't love myself at a bigger size and I probably wouldn't have loved myself at a bigger size. And I'm like, honestly, if I end up a bigger size again, at least I know this time I'm doing it with like good intentions for my body and like doing it with like loving. If I gained weight and living a healthy lifestyle, like so be it. I don't really care. But like, yeah, there is something to be said when you aren't treating your body well in a greater scheme of things where you just like, yeah, I literally, my lunches used to be Pringles cans.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but like I used to.
Or bags of hot Cheetos. Like that was my jam.
Or I would literally make food for the family and I eat the portion that I knew was enough to be full. And then I would go and then when I was like packing up the leftovers, I would just eat them. Dang. I was so full mm-hmm. and I continued to eat just because it just felt good too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that you kind of made note of that. You're like, you weren't a healthy overweight. You were literally on a fast food drive-through chain.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would sneak eat McDonald's in my car. Yeah. Oh. It was sad. Like, I look back and I'm like, that's sad. But then I was, like, at my heaviest weight ever, and my dad actually ended up passing away. He was maybe 53. He had a heart attack. Oh. He was also an alcoholic. So I kind of knew it was coming. He was always a functioning alcoholic, but mm-hmm. it, like, he wasn't in good health.
But and that's still such a shock. Yeah, that changes really you.
Yeah. And still, I think that's like low-key a repressed like emotion of mine. I don't think I ever dealt with that. I kind of put it in a closet. We'll come back to that later. Some point, maybe I need to go to therapy for that. We'll see. But my husband was actually super affected by it. And he was like, your health is important. And I'm worried about your health. And I want you to get healthy. Because I was literally like, I would not move. I would just sit around the house and just eat fast food. So, like, I would never work out ever. And so I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'll go on walks. And then I hated it. Like, I hated going on walks. And I live in
cardio Monterey. Cardio is cardio.
It's gorgeous. Like, this bike path. Like, I go on walks now. And I'm like, ugh. I'm, like, hashtag blessed to live in this area. But at the moment, I was like, I would rather be anywhere else. And so I was like, okay, well, I needed just something else that I enjoy to work out. And I started doing Zumba classes. And I was like, okay, this is actually fun. And then that's like a lot of cardio. So I started doing a lot of cardio. I was doing 2 to 3 classes a day, like what? 5 days a week. Yeah. And then I was kind of like mixing up. I got really addicted to it. And I got super addicted to cardio. And then I started to lose weight. And then I became like, oh, I could like lose more weight and I could look better. Keep in mind, like, my husband urged me to do this for my health, but I got addicted to, like, the actual, like, looking better. And so that was just kind of, like, an ongoing thing. I ended up getting into weights and, like, bodybuilding and all sorts of stuff. I started to track macros, track my calories. I got, like, really obsessive with it, and I got super lean for me. And I got into nursing school and I just like couldn't hang with it anymore. I like couldn't keep up with all my workouts. I couldn't keep up with all my food.
Honestly, it's a full-time job. Like that, oh. What you're talking about is a full-time job. I can't even like, sometimes I'm like, I need to get my 20 minutes in a day and I know it's there because I watch a lot of Friends, but you know it's there, but still 3 classes a day.
Yeah.
And not to mention, like just to bring it back to this, Zumba's hard. I'm the worst dancer in the history of Zumba and that is like a hard class. So you were like, honestly, you're just burning.
I know. It's just burning. And at this point, like when I started nursing school, I hadn't been doing Zumba for a while. I was doing like the weightlifting and the cardio and that whole stuff. But still, I couldn't keep up with it. I couldn't keep tracking all my food. I couldn't keep prepping all my meals like to the gram exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I got to this point where I had gained a lot of weight because I wasn't like taking care of myself exactly. And nursing school, in case you didn't know, is extremely stressful, like so stressful.
I've heard that. I mean, I can't imagine that it wouldn't be. It's like life or death stuff here.
It's
a lot of information. Nurses have a lot that they do and a lot that they deal with. And I think people forget how multifaceted their job is and their knowledge is. It's insane. So kudos to the nursing community. I don't know how you do it.
It's rough.
I don't even have my kids like scrape their knee and I'm like, I don't even know what to do. And you have to know like all of the things.
I'll be at work sometimes and I just get so burnt out from work that my daughter will like cut her finger and something. I'm like, I don't have the mental capacity for this, but then, you know, I figure it out, but still I feel it's a lot. But then, yeah, I got to this mental breaking point where I just always felt like I wasn't doing good enough. I wasn't doing good enough at school. I wasn't doing good enough at the gym. Like I just felt like a failure. Like I wasn't doing being a good enough mom. Like I wasn't doing good in anything I was doing. And I just felt like my life was a disaster and I just sucked and I was worthless and just like a piece of shit. I could cuss. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We've crossed that bridge many a time.
So I had a mental breakdown where I just broke down. I was super depressed. And it's like, I had a friend tell me, she was like, you know, you're kind of really negative and you're kind of bringing everyone down. And I had never really thought of it that way. Like, I thought I was just kind of being mean to myself. I didn't realize that it was affecting other people. And hello, hi, I'm a people pleaser. So realizing that my attitude was affecting those around me was like a real reality check. I was like, okay, this is now a problem. So I need to do something to fix this. Mm-hmm. And so I just started to think like, okay, I need to be nicer to myself, but I don't know how to do that. I can't literally look in the mirror and give myself positive affirmations. That's just not going to happen. So I just started to just try to get rid of the negative thoughts. So I would just say like, okay, I could have the negative thought, but I'm just going to like let it go. I'm not going to say bad things about myself to other people. I'm not going to be negative to myself. And then I'll just go from there. And then that actually made such a difference, because then like all of a sudden there's just all this room for positive thoughts and to be happier. And I was like, what's happening? And this whole time I had kind of been sharing my weight loss journey and fitness journey on Instagram. And I had gained a following through there doing that. And so then my message really started to shift more. I actually, like before this really happened, I was kind of like faking it till you make it, in a sense. Like I was posting these kind of things like, be kind to your body, like kind of like appreciate your body as it is, like even before I really believed it.
Oh girl,
to just put it out there.
I know it is, because you want to be positive about it. You want to believe the things. I think all the way back into when I was like even in my weight loss season, even you probably similarly felt the same, where you're projecting how happy it's all making you, even if it's like it's a surface happiness and that you know you're not dealing with root issues. Like you know you're avoiding. You know that as long as you look a certain way, it's showing that you've got stuff together and it's showing like you have like a success point, when like internally you might have so much unrest.
Yeah. No, I was literally looking at some of the pictures in my phone of when I was much smaller, and I was literally looking at them and I was like, how did I feel in that moment? Like, how did I actually feel? Because I'll see it on my Instagram and like it'll be a happy caption. I'm like, but how was I really feeling? And I don't really know, but I don't think I was very happy.
which is a good thing to note, because a lot of times, especially in the postpartum community, people will be like, I just want to get back to this. Like, if I just got back to that body, I'd feel so much better. I'm just like trying to lose that like 10 pounds that came on. I just want to get back to like being that size or whatever. And it's been such an important question to me to ask myself as I go on, because I still have those thoughts. Like, if I could just like lose 15 pounds or like just be back to like a size six, like I would be happy. And I have to ask myself over and over and over, were you happy then? Like, were you happy then? And almost every single time when you ask that question of somebody who was once a smaller size and is now bigger, were you happy then? And they're like, well, no. Like, I found other things to hate about my body then too. And but it's such like that, I don't know what it is about our past, or it's like that feeling of what we've been told is happiness is in so much of our appearance. So when you're looking at a photo, like you said, you're looking at a photo, you don't actually fully remember. You know what you wrote and you know it sounded positive, but how did you actually feel? Some of my photos, when I look back on them, I have this one where I remember it was like a photo shoot in the water, and it was like extremely, it was extremely beautiful, and I'm extremely thin in it. And I remember just recently looking at it, and all I could remember was how self-conscious I was that day and how unmotivated and unconfident it was. I was so like, I felt like I had to be fierce, and I felt like I had to be like so perfect, and like they're not smiling in anything because I think that I have to be like this stoic human.
Yeah.
But like, I forgot how hard that was. So for me to even like have those thoughts now of, oh, it would be nice to be back to like a size whatever, no, like probably not. I'd probably still be dealing with same stuff. So I don't know. I just want to kind of like say that, because I think it's really important that you note that, yeah, like the outside isn't necessarily projecting what's going on, right? Yeah.
No, I have like progress pictures, like those mirror pics in my phone. And I literally have tears coming down my face in some of them, because I'm so unhappy because I gained like 5 pounds and I felt like a failure. And I was like, my body's disgusting. I look horrible. Like, look what I did. I messed up, and like, look where I'm at. And I'm like, oh my God, like I looked great. Like, looking back now, and it's just, yeah, it's so sad. And
it's so sad. So now you came out of this like fitness community, and now you're in nursing school. You've gained a little bit of weight. You're now stepping into body neutrality, which is like just like stopping negative thinking. Mm-hmm. How did you start transcending that into like your storytelling and how you showed up online? Did you ever expect to be who you are now?
So it's weird, because I started to storytell like when I was kind of sharing my like fitness stuff, mm-hmm. and my weight loss stuff. And what's interesting is because I shared it like during my whole journey process to kind of inspire people and to be inspired myself. And you kind of do find a community there. So I'm not like hating on that.
No, not at all.
But then it really did. It was almost like I started to post differently, and I stopped posting progress pictures. And then you kind of hear this like silence in a sense, because people aren't used to you not sharing, you know, they don't. Transformation pictures perform amazing and people love to see it. And so transitioning, and like, you know, it's hard because people that aren't there yet have a hard time hearing it. And when someone's really into losing weight and they're in that place, they don't want to hear people talk about how you don't need to lose weight.
Right.
And so I think transitioning, it was just kind of, I wanted to put out the messages that I would have wanted to see. And especially when I was younger, like I would have loved to hear people like with my body or your body or so many like diverse bodies out there talking about these things and sharing their struggles and just being more open. And so I just try to do that. And I try to just put out like if it helps one person, like if one person can connect with it, I just kind of like post it. It's really therapeutic to me.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. A lot of your story is so in line with mine. And it's like that same kind of feeling. Like it's almost therapeutic. Like, you know, you can't continue down the path of putting out things just because they're high performing. Yeah, I know it. I used to post like a transformation photo every Tuesday. Like, God bless the transformation Tuesday, because it was like my only like excuse to like put up another transformation photo so I could have another day of like high performing stuff. And stepping away from that and being like, I have these high performing posts, but like this internal, like I said, unrest. So coming up and showing authentically up as yourself and sharing your story, even if one person connects, like that actually does make a difference.
It does.
But it's been important for me to connect. Like it's been important for me to show up as my authentic self. And I think that's why I maybe connected so much with you, because I could tell, and I didn't follow you back in your fitness days. So I could tell, not that you're not fitness now, you still do fitness stuff, but I could tell that, you know, there was an authenticity to you. And one of the things that I found, I actually bonded with you, I told you this earlier, but it's been weirdly struggling for, it's been a weird struggle for me being even in like the body positive community or the body confident community, the self-love community, whatever you want to call it. And there's these bodies like Ashley Graham and like Issachara and all these incredible women who have done so much good work. And I am not shaming their bodies even in the slightest. I literally idolize them. But they have curves. And I feel like I don't have the big boobs to go with my big hips. I don't have the same shape. So I felt like really alone in having a small chest, but a bigger, like coming into a bigger body again. And I was like, it didn't really feel great. So when I first found you, a lot of the content you would post, like little bralettes and like workout stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, like she has a small chest like me, but she's still like somebody in this space who still rocks like her curves, even when her curves are just smaller curves. And I don't know if you've experienced that at all, but it has been like, that has been a weird curve for me, because I feel like I went from, you know, the fitness industry where there's like a lot of comparison, but it's all about your size and it's all about your weight or your performance. And then you come into like this body acceptance space. And even then I was still feeling comparative feeling of, yeah, but like I don't really have the curves in the right places. I just wish I could choose where it was that my curves were and where they lied. So for you, if for me with you, you were one of the first bodies that made me feel I really actually kind of identify with this in a relatable way, where I was like, she looks so strong and sexy and beautiful and like doesn't have like a D-cup boob.
You know, I completely relate to that, because I felt the exact same, because you get into this place where, okay, like we're doing this, like there's a world now of body confidence or body positivity, if you want to call it. But I mean, the bodies that are being mostly represented in this are like you said, curves in all those places, like the big butt, the big hips, but they still have like a pretty slender waist and they have the big boobs. And I'm like, okay, I literally have like no boobs. Like I'm maybe an A cup, like on a good day. And
I'm like a straight up and down. Like I'm just like I'm a square shape. Girl,
you got good curves, but I know what you mean.
You know it. Like it's one of those things. It's just like, it was a weird kind of curve, but yeah, I really appreciated seeing somebody else on the platform that I was like, oh, okay. You can still be this and still do that. And you know, you've killed it in that space. And in such a relatable way, it's been really magnificent kind of watching you grow from that. But how has it been for you on an internal sense? Like what did that transition do for you? Because I'm sure that you saw a little bit of an impact. Like you said, the silence that kind of came from no longer being like the weight loss story or this like body transformation story and stepping into this new zone. But like a lot of people don't realize what it actually can do for your own mental health and stuff. What did it change for you stepping into that?
It's really been more of like, it's actually been such a creative outlet for me, because I've never thought of myself as a creative person. Like I've always been more like book smart and I'm like, I'm not very creative, but I love to write. And like, I kind of put that passion into my captions, and I love, it might be cocky, I don't know what it is, but I love being in pictures. Like I love taking pictures. I love going and taking pictures. It's so fun for me. And I've always loved, even when I was like in high school and I really didn't like my body, I still loved taking pictures. I was on MySpace. Like I loved MySpace, and I've just been always into MySpace. This little world. Oh my God, MySpace was amazing. MySpace was
so good.
I loved MySpace.
Tom,
I got so good at MySpace. I was really good at like HTML, and I had like the best MySpace profile, and I would have like the little click links. Like it was really good. I'm kind of sad that I can't go and back and look at it, because I was really happy with how it turned out.
Does it like really not exist at all anymore?
No,
like
it does. It does exist, but it's mostly like a music platform, but it doesn't, like I think your pictures are still there, but all my pretty HTML is gone.
I'm a little bit terrified to go look up at my MySpace page. It's going to be a picture of me like putting lip gloss on in the mirror.
Like with that special MySpace angle with your digital little camera.
No, every everybody always had like a, it was very like a an emotional photo that you were like looking into a mirror, and I'm pretty sure mine was like looking into a mirror and applying lip gloss. I'm also pretty sure that I was like 9 months pregnant taking those photos because like that's how old I was when MySpace was going on. Yeah. So days. Crazy. So yeah, you're a creator, and you know what? You're a great model. Like you are a really, really great model. You have such a such a knack for it, which I think is incredible because you are not a stereotypical model in the sense of what we've grown up to see, but you've kind of changed that a little bit because that now that's literally what you're doing, like part time. That's part of what you do, and you're kind of like a little short.
I am. I'm so short. I'm 5'2", and we just did a photo shoot at the beach today. I know, you poor thing. And I'm there with my 5'2 self, and then there's all these beautiful ladies, and they are much taller than me, like model tall.
We
and I'm
literally
like,
had to put you on the sand. We're like, if the sand was sloping down towards the water, we're like, Chelsea, go on the end that's taller. And then the poor thing, so she's doing it. She's standing in the sand, but she's just sinking into it. And I was like, even when she tries to be taller, she's just sinking right back to. I can't wait to see these pictures.
I can't. This poor little thing. I saw some and I'm like, oh, this is just great. It's okay. It's so I own my sweet. Short. It's fine.
You own your short, but I think it's really good for people to see that because there was a lot of people of different heights. I was talking about this recently. I reshared a post that somebody had about thin privilege and how sometimes it can make us feel like really defensive when we talk about thin privilege and stuff. And one person wrote me and she goes, you know, I'm thin, but I have a really bad, she goes, so I have a thin privilege there, but she goes, I still can't shop for things because I'm very, very tall. And there's not a lot of clothes for tall women. And I still struggle for inclusivity with my height. And I was like, isn't that interesting? So even within, and I think that's always important to note, like just a side note to all of that, every single privilege that exists, there's always sub things. Like everyone still going through stuff. Just because men have more gender privilege doesn't mean that they're not still going through sometimes gender biases. Just because that somebody is thin privileged doesn't mean that they don't sometimes have like skinny shaming happening. Like just because somebody is, you know, white in color doesn't mean that they're not sometimes like experiencing racism. So I think that in every single privilege that there is still these like secondary things that still happen. Of course, just like men still deal with body issues, we still have people who are always struggling in all these different range of spectrums. But yeah, like even for you, like being short is not necessarily like the easiest thing all the time. It hasn't always been widely accepted. So it's I kind of love, like just to wrap that thought up, I kind of love that we're in this time and age where you're less like, I've decided I'm a model and that's, I'm showing up and I'm getting pictures of myself. And there, you don't have to be like 5'10 with a size 0 waist and be under the age of 25 to like make it in this world anymore. Like we're demanding so much more.
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, I love that point you segued into about the privilege thing. Like thanks. so important. Yes, like
sometimes preach I have it. Good thoughts.
Preach it. But yeah, no, I think that's what is kind of amazing about social media now is like literally anyone could just start showing up. No matter how they look, no matter what they do, like no matter like where they're at, they can start showing up and people like will resonate. Someone will resonate.
Honestly, I have to tell people this all the time. I'm like, if a mom of three who is staying at home with her kids didn't have like anything going on for her and was able to grow an entire business from nothing, like never went to school. I've never been a professional model. I've never been a professional anything, like nothing. Was like literally a single mom, like working as a server and working and got a part-time job during the day that I friggin' hustled my way up in. And on the sides was like just doing the social media thing. If I could do it with all of those circumstances, I always say it's like you can make an extraordinary life out of such an ordinary kind of story. And I understand that there's a lot of things that have happened to both of our lives that kind of perpetuate the perspective that perhaps we've been given now to be able to speak on certain things and be able to share knowledge and insight of those things. But it doesn't matter because everyone has a story. Every single person
exactly
has a story. And whether it is like big or small, when I was like a kid, this is not even a joke. I used to go to Christian camp and people would like share their testimony. And I made one up because I was like, I don't I literally just had such a good childhood that I felt like I had to make something up. Like, I'm the girl who lied at Christian camp about her testimony. Like, if that's blasphemous, like, that is the thing. I think I told people that, like, I was drinking, and I was like, I was like 14. I definitely never had had a drink in my life. And I was like, I'm just looking for love at the end of a bottle. Like, so disrespectful to people who are actually dealing with that. But regardless, I felt like I wasn't special enough that I had to make up a story to be special. And when you come through that, I'm like, first of all, I don't wish bad things on anybody. You shouldn't have to have trauma happen in your life in order to have like a special story or to have some sort of a transformation. You don't have to have some sort of like insane talent or amazing things just to be able to get noticed. Like, you literally can have any sort of story and have the ability to share it and show up in it. And I think it's just the coolest thing ever.
No, exactly. Like, I'm kind of obsessed with the fact that that is a thing. And it's really cool. It's really cool.
I also got to say, like, how old were you when you had your daughter, did you say?
17.
You were 17. So you haven't really had a whole lot of opportunity to adult on your own. You've literally grown up.
Yeah.
With your kid.
Yeah. And my husband. Like,
and your husband.
We've only been like legally married like 3 years, but we've been together over 11. So,
wow. Yeah. That's incredible. How have you found as a mom, and especially as a teen mom? Because I think when it happens to you at a younger age, I was 21 when I had my first, but when it happens to you at a young age, it almost just becomes part of your identity. So as you kind of get older and you're starting to kind of channel who you are, it can be really hard to detach that part of you to start fighting for who you are. How did you kind of transition through kind of motherhood and at the same time being an advocate for yourself and for your health and for everything going on in life? Like, where did that come from for you?
It's been really weird and really hard. And I literally just wrote about this a couple days
ago. Oh, yeah. Gosh, I feel bad. I didn't even read it.
No, it's just perfect time because it's been like really heavy weighing on me. Because so you always hear like, love yourself first, or like, you need to find yourself and you need to go out and explore the world in your 20s and be on your own and stuff like that. And I would always hear these things. I'm like, okay, well, I have a husband, I have a kid, I am not alone, I'm the furthest thing from alone. And I'm like, well, how?
Don't even pee alone.
How can I find myself? So I've just been thinking about this lately, like, do I have to take a trip to Bali for a month to like,
I feel like find that was just myself? That was just a move. Julia Roberts made us think that we all needed to go to Bali. I haven't been to Bali yet.
I know. And so it's just been interesting.
We should go to Bali.
Can we?
Like, actually.
Let's actually go to Bali.
Like, we don't need Bali, but actually.
But actually, let's go. Part two podcast coming in Bali. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I when I posted about this, I got so much feedback and I heard so many different perspectives. And I mean, ultimately, it comes down, I just really wanted to start a discussion on what people thought about it. And what it comes down to is, yeah, just like finding your way to like find that piece of alone time within all the chaos of not really ever being alone, whether that's going on a walk for a half hour or like if you like to meditate or journal or just whatever it is, if you just like find a little bit of time to like give to yourself every day. And I'm really good at that. My daughter is in school, mm-hmm. and when she's at school, I work part-time and I do 12-hour shifts, so I don't work like too many days. And so I like make sure like I get my gym in, or I go do my kickboxing. I make sure I like get my self-care in. I make it a big priority. And then I've recently started to do more stuff like this, like independently coming on trips by myself, which as of like a year ago, I never went on a trip by myself.
Aww.
And it just really opened my eyes like, okay, I like can do this. Like, I can be by myself and do these kind of things. And little stuff like that really helps a lot, but it's hard to navigate. And I'm sure you could relate.
Yeah. So I never, just back to like the travel thing, I never really went anywhere like without somebody else until I was in, maybe I was like 27, 28. So I had a friend who lived in Chicago, and but she had to work during the day. So I would have to travel there by myself. I would have to spend the days by myself, and then I would meet up with her. So it was kind of like this bridge in between solo travel and being with somebody. So I went down there, and it also made it affordable. Like, because I had somewhere to stay, the flight was like $300. Yeah, like on a single income family with three kids, like you don't really have the opportunity to just take a $1,200 trip somewhere. So I remember my therapist really, really, really encouraging me to go do some things on my own. So I took that trip and I went, and I remember just like walking the streets by myself, taking the L train by myself, like doing all of these things that felt so incredibly foreign. And I remember certain moments, like I was putting on my shoes and I was like, I don't remember the last time I put on shoes without telling three other people to put on their shoes. Like, it was just like this weird independence of I'm putting on shoes and I'm leaving, and I don't have to figure out snacks in my bag, and all of these tiny things that I didn't realize had built up inside of me as responsibilities and needs for other people, that I could literally just listen to my own needs and be like, I'm hungry, I'm going to go find something to eat. I would love to have a cup of coffee. I feel like going this way, and I don't have to convince anybody. I don't have to ask anybody. I was there for maybe 4 days. I literally went for a long weekend. And on the last day, when I was like packing everything up, I was so ready to see my family. Like, I was so excited to see them. But I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed, because I thought, how did I never give myself this opportunity to be alone? Like, why did I just take so much of motherhood and just like, it was almost like a falling onto a sword for it, that I didn't even give myself the room and space to walk a street alone or go in a car alone or have all of these things that truly, like, I came home a different person because I was so fulfilled in self-care. And that was like my first taste of it in a way that was like more than, I was just saying on another podcast, like even just like closing the door to go to the bathroom, or and like teaching my kids being respectful to giving me that alone time, or working out with headphones in. Yeah. And being like, I'm stepping away from this for half an hour. It changed me that day. And it's something that I have now realize that I will fight for that girl. I will fight for myself until the end of time, no matter what it takes. And when I say fight for myself, it's not like my family's knocking on the door being like, but we want to be part of it too. It's like, no. I think we all kind of collectively, my kids and I, have understood that like we're all better people when we have independent growth, and then we come together and we share it.
No, I think it's so important. And I think that this is a problem that a lot of moms have, is they don't know how to separate themselves. And it's so important that to note that, you know, like they say, you have to put your oxygen mask on first on the airplane before you put on the person next to you. Because if you can't properly take care of yourself, you literally can't keep taking care of those around you.
You really can't. And it can be so frustrating, especially when you're in a season like now. It is your job to take care of people. Like, it is part of your job to like output that and then come home and be a mom and a wife.
And like, it becomes part of your identity too. Yeah. Like, some people, they're like, I'm a mom. And it's like, well, what else?
Yeah. You know? Who are you? Oh my gosh. Arielle just said that on the podcast I did with her. She said like the moment she realized that her mom had a name, like her mom wasn't just mom, her mom was a person.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, like that is like something, because it's so true. We kind of, and we love that identity. There's part of it that's like being a mom gives you like community, just like being in the fitness world gives you community. When you get married, suddenly get to go on like couples things, but like that doesn't mean that you get to know who you are. And it also, I think, because even when we're little, my neighbor always notes this, when we're little kids or we see kids playing and we'll see a boy and a girl like playing together, and immediately people will say like, oh my gosh, look at them. I wonder if they'll date one day. We couple people and we put them in these storylines for the rest of their lives. And it's funny. I'm sure you've had this a couple times too, now that your daughter's getting a little bit older. How is she? She's 10 now?
10.
When they start to get a little bit older and they start creating these narratives, my one daughter, she was like, she's adamant that she will never give birth. Like, she's adamant that she will never give birth. And she's such a nurturing soul. I'm like, Gemma, like, how could you not want to give birth? She's like, you know what? I just don't. I've just decided I'm adopting. And it was weird because I was like, I love adoption. But suddenly this narrative that I didn't even know was there from my child was suddenly like being challenged. And I was like, but I had in my head that you would like, I just saw pregnancy and I saw all these things. And I was like, that's actually not. But then you realize it for yourself too, because your entire life, there's almost this narrative in every single story, in every single book, where like you meet somebody, you partner with them, you have children, you get married, you have children, you find a career, you do those things. Like, there's all these different success points that are, you think, define people, because when you're talking about a definition of who you are and growing into something, it looks so external. But yet, all of it, I feel like if I'm going to say what my story is, it's been 100% internal. Nothing that I've done on the outside do I feel is a success point for me anymore. But I really chased those for a long ass time.
Yes. No, I completely relate to that. And it's funny because what you were saying about like community and like being like a mom, yeah, is like part of your community. And if you go on my page, you'll be like, she's a mom, because I don't usually post pictures of my daughter.
I was gonna ask that.
Yeah, I don't usually post pictures of my daughter. Like, my husband will be on there maybe like twice. And it's something that just kind of happened over time as my Instagram grew. My husband's like very like more like socially awkward. He doesn't like to be the face of it. He doesn't like being in pictures. And my daughter's more kind of like to herself, and she doesn't really like to be in pictures very much.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so respect,
like,
there.
They just don't really want to like be all over the internet, which I totally respect, because I'm choosing to put myself out there. Like, you're, that's up to
Chelsea.
Me. I'm choosing Chelsea, and I'm choosing to put myself out there, but they're not. And I'm going to totally respect that. And it's all like so individual. And I think like moms and other, like, I feel like I'm not in the mom community because they can't relate to me. And literally I have so many people like, you have kids, or like, you have a kid, like, what? Like, I wouldn't have. Well, it doesn't help that I'm 28, but I look like I'm 12. Like, people think I'm like 19, and I'm like, no. And then I have a 10-year-old. It's really awkward. But it's weird because I feel like so like a part of that community in a sense.
Well, of course, because your life and what you're going through relates back to that. I kind of share a similar thing, because when you have school age kids, of course they have consent. And I feel like a lot of social media, as it's blown up over the last few years, I felt really, it's strangely left out from the mom community as well, because my kids were school age, and I was like, nobody's showing school age kids. Nobody's, yeah, talking about them. Nobody's like promoting anything to do with them. It's all about these cute, like, no offense to these things, because I actually love when people do this, but the cute little matching photos with like their kids, mm-hmm, and everything. Everybody's like looking at the camera, and I'm like, if you look at our photos, it's three children who are trying to ruin the photo and a mother who like didn't know that they were doing that. So my kids very much like to like do that, but we're also in an age of consent. Like you said, your daughter's really not feeling it. My kids, like, sometimes they want to be a part of it and sometimes they really don't. And so when people are like, oh, I've literally been challenged that I used to always be challenged that I posted too much of myself and not of my family, as if I didn't care about them and I was narcissistic.
Yeah, no, I totally get that, because yeah, it looks like she's a mom and a wife.
Or but projecting like, where that are you're they? Single. Yeah, all of these different things. And then on top of that, also having like this, you clearly have a favorite child because they're the only ones in your posts. I'm like, but nobody stopped to consider that maybe the other ones just didn't want to.
Yeah.
And that they've come into an age of wanting that privacy and stuff too. Now they're kind of like hitting their stride with it. Honestly, my son got recognized in the mall once and now it's gone to his head. They kind of hit their stride with it, where they're like, we really like, they have fun with it. And they think it's funny. And I think because like my oldest is now on social media, she kind of feels like more of a participant in it as opposed to somebody who is like an accessory. But it's so interesting because, yeah, like even now it's funny how in the last few years, because of my stretch marks, I got really amplified in the postpartum community.
Yeah.
I'm like, so weird, because I'm like 9 years postpartum. Like, I'm super far out of it, but I'm also still in that too. Like, I'm still in the body acceptance stage. But then I also was like, but we have to work on stretch marks being more than postpartum.
Yes.
We have to work on like weight issues and stuff like that being more than just like a fitness journey. We need to talk about things on like an emotional level. We have to talk about so many of these different things. And like when I talk about my stretch marks in terms of like it connecting with postpartum, like, of course it does, because like that's what normally it comes out of, but there are so many women who have never had a child who are struggling with stretch marks. There are so many women who are struggling with all these different things. So sometimes it's actually better that they are able to connect with somebody who maybe isn't putting that baby front and center saying, this is the reason my body looks like this. And this is the reason I can honor it. Cause they're like, I don't have a kid to show for it. Yeah. And I've got stretch marks all over my body. So what about me? So I think I actually find it really encouraging that I get to watch you kind of grow and talk about your body and this space and everything without it having to be that you're also like a family person too, because you are your own person that is like a part of your life, but still we don't all need to see all of that just to accept you.
I think that's like a really good point, and that's something too, like I do it for me and mm-hmm. I do it for my community, but it does show that like you are your own person, like without your kids, without your husband, without whoever, like you are your own person and you're allowed to live your own life and live it for you while still catering to those around you.
Now, taking pictures and stuff, you said that you've always liked it, but how is it, have you found it's actually helped you with your confidence?
Yeah, I think so, because you just get, it's like a habit. You just like get used to it. And I used to be a lot more critical over like, ooh, I don't like that roll, or ooh, I don't like how that looks, like delete. But now I'm just kind of like, you know, our bodies are our bodies. We all look different from different angles. And it's just, you know, seeing myself at different angles and like just taking more pictures and just kind of like becoming normal and just like, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And just seeing it over and over, and it does help. It helps a lot.
Yeah. It's one thing that I've really noticed help too, because I think when we, this is like such a weird thing, but do you ever like sit down on the toilet and you look at your stomach and you're just like, wow,
always.
What must this look mm-hmm. like? So I remember I actually like took a selfie on the toilet to see what my body actually looked like externally from that. And I was like, wow, what I put into my head was like something completely different. Like I felt like I looked like Jabba the Hutt or like a melted ice cream cone. Like that's all I could think about is what I looked like. And when I like took the picture, I was like, you know what? I just literally look like somebody sitting on the toilet. That's so dumb. But it's seeing my body. And I tell people this all the time. When you, what you think you look like, it doesn't actually, well, two different parts of it. Sometimes I think what we think we look like isn't actually reality. And second to that, sometimes we're so scared to have our picture taken mm-hmm. because we feel so happy in the moment, and then we see the picture and it like devastates us. That's actually how my whole weight loss story started, was seeing a bad picture of me yeah. on Facebook, and it like devastated me. But what makes me sad about that was because the image became my narrative, not what was actually going on inside of me, mm-hmm. which in that moment, I was actually really happy. I was having a great time at a baby shower. And the photo was just me sitting there measuring a pregnant mom's belly. And somehow this became the catalyst for me to hate my body, to lose weight. But somehow over the years, I've been able to flip that. And I always really have wanted to repeat the fact that like, showing up and taking pictures and showing up and having like that moment of, even if you take the selfie when you're feeling yourself, friggin' take the selfie when you're feeling yourself, because those things are moments where you're like literally truly honoring your outside, or you're just like not giving weight to the doubt.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's so crazy how I did this workshop one time where I was trying to help people feel more comfortable in front of the camera, and like,
oh, you'd be great for
it
that.
It was so fun. Like, I want to do it way more. It was really fun. And I just kind of asked them, I was like, okay, like, so what are your initial insecurities? Like, what do you not necessarily like when you look in a picture? And it's just crazy because they'll say things that I'll have no idea by looking at them that they would ever be insecure about it.
Oh, and are you someone, perhaps so too, I think it's because of a lot of the body editing ads. Like, we had such an, it's so accessible. You can literally be like, ooh, I thought that I looked a little bit differently on that. I thought that my waist looks a little bit more cinched, and now I don't really feel like it looks like that. Like, I'll just fix that. I'll just make it look, my butt looks flat. I'm just going to fix that a little bit. And getting out of that and having to own what your body truly is in its form and honoring it can be tricky. But did you ever struggle with that?
So I'm the opposite. Like, I never used a body editing app ever. And so I was one of those people that I was so ignorant. I was like, people are changing the way their bodies look. Like, I was shocked because I just compared myself to all these people on Instagram. And I was like, oh, I wish I could look like them. I wish I could look like them. And I, like, since I didn't do that to my own photos, I had no idea that other people were doing it. And so it's just so crazy now to realize how common it is. And I think there are a lot of people that don't have any idea like how easy it is to like cinch your waist and like get rid of like your back fat and do this and that. And it's really crazy.
You can literally like copy and paste abs on yourself now. But I think what's so funny to think of, I should do that sometime.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll use some of the pictures of today and we'll just Photoshop abs on both of us.
Come to find out what we're talking about. But no, it's funny because I don't know what I was going to say. Yeah, like I feel like a lot of the times like when I did that in the past, now I don't even know what was my true self back then. And when we think about like comparative nature and stuff, like it skews your thinking. It causes you to look at the mirror and see yourself in a way that you aren't, or like that you think that you ought to be. It strips you from the opportunity to kind of love your body or accept your body. But more than that, I'm really over the shaming of it. Like, and I used to do it too, where I'd be like, oh, she totally face-tuned her body. You know what? We honestly have to shut down that conversation, because this is not a space. We are so much better than shaking shame sticks at other women for what they're doing in their insecurities, because people are dealing with stuff. There is like pain going on. I don't believe that people face-tune and change their bodies because like they're in a place of like self-love at all. They're clearly struggling, and it can be really hard when you see somebody and people like, I actually got accused of it really recently, and I was like, oh, that's like actually, it was actually offensive. It was hurtful and it was offensive. But more than that, I was like, it just took away from like the entire point of everything. And I think that even if you know somebody is doing it, don't try and judge them. Like, just recognize that they maybe need a, like, they just need to, like, they're in that stage of their journey. Cause I was there once too. Like, I was there. I went through it. Like, I know how hard it was to kind of be in this like self-perfecting phase. Same way when people are like, you can tell they're like gripped by diet culture.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really hard to sit by and watch and hear and listen to. But at the same time, like, I used to be there. So I don't judge that. I'm here to be like, just there's another side of it. There's a whole other life after obsessive counting of calories, and there's after obsessive working out. And it's even weird now. Like, I used to have, and I'm not sure if you had this too, but if you ever missed a workout, the panic that it would ensue.
Oh yeah.
Like, even if I was like sick with a cold, I'd be like, oh, I'm this is done. I had to, like, there's so many steps I've had to take. Like, I've had to ditch the scale completely. I've had to just like take so many, I've had to delete all the calorie counting apps.
I was tracking macros and I had eaten all my food for the day, and I started to feel like I was getting sick, and I wanted to take an emergency, but I'm like, that has 5 grams of carbs in it. And I was like, I can't do it. I literally wouldn't.
Little, like the vitamin C packs.
Yeah, I literally wouldn't take it because I was going to go over my carbs for the day with the 5 grams of carbs in the emergency.
Oh, it's my like gosh. Crazy.
But yeah, no, I totally get the having to get rid of the scale. I thought I got strong and I thought I could handle not being on the scale, but I weighed myself like a week or two ago and I was like,
it affects you.
Not great. Like, I just like, it's still like, it's so weird because like, I know, like what I would tell anyone else is like, the weight on the scale does not define you. It doesn't say anything. Like, BMI is complete bullshit. Like, anything I would tell others, like, it's sometimes it's hard to say it to yourself and to actually realize it as truth.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, it could still, it's crazy how much it could affect your emotions. Like, you could step on the scale in the morning and it will make or break your whole day.
Well, and that's kind of the thing that I found was bad, because if you, in your weight loss journey, of course, there's a lot of people who are going through that season where like they need something to kind of motivate them as they're going.
Yes.
However, and this is the part that I often say people don't talk about, is when you're exiting that season. So you're suddenly no longer losing weight. Do you have any idea what that feels like when you step on the scale and it's not going down anymore? Ooh. Now you stopped getting that feeling of you're doing great, honey. Like, get back out there today. Like, you're doing all the things. Like, you've lost your success points. And now you might actually see it go up. And then that starts to affect your mood in the other way. So even if going on the scale has given you happiness feelings, what happens when stepping on the scale and it starts moving? Are we still going to be happy with ourselves for that day? So the moment I ditched the scale was, it was quite a bit after my weight loss. I still weighed myself probably every day, whether or not I'd like to admit that. I still was, because it was like this, I needed a safety net of like, I'm still okay. I'm still okay. I'm still okay. And I was in the middle of moving. And I had moved into the new house, and my husband had his scale. I had my scale from my house. And so we had two scales, but mine wasn't unpacked yet. So I had weighed myself at his house, and I was 5 pounds up. And it really affected me. And I started being like, I gotta stop this. I need to re-download the apps. I need to like really get in charge. Like, I'm not gonna let myself slip, like, quote unquote. Like, all of these really bad, like, fat phobic thoughts and fears started to like flood my mind because of this 5 pound thing. I was not wanting to be in pictures. I didn't want to post stuff. I felt really self-conscious about my body. I noticed it in the way I was intimate with my husband. Like, I was doing all of these things that was like making me, it changed me. It literally changed me. And then I unpacked my scale and I stepped on it and I realized, oh gosh, these scales just have a 5 pound difference.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden I felt so good about myself and I was so confident that day and I was so this and I was so that and I was killing it at life. And I thought, I'm so done. I'm breaking up with it. I'm so done with it giving me the power or taking it away based on what this number says. But it takes a breaking of a habit. So I actually had it. Initially, I was like, I got rid of the scale. But truthfully, I've never even shared this. I put it in my closet, but I would sneak it out and it would be really quiet about it so no one could hear. And I'd sneak it out and I'd weigh myself. And it continued to eat at me.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. When finally it lost its power, like the battery died. And I thought to myself, that is like the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me.
I was just
when that
say,
scale
whoa.
Lost its power, and it lost its power over me. And I haven't weighed myself since then. And I, even at the doctor, I will ask to face away from the scale. And it's so funny because I'm like, I actually have no idea what I weigh. I can tell you straight up right now, I still struggle some days with my body. I still struggle seeing my body not being as thin as it was. I still struggle with my body and the way that the curves have presented themselves on me. I still struggle when I'm extremely bloated, feeling like my clothes are really tight. I still struggle with all of those things, but I can tell you, full stop, I've never felt better.
Yeah.
And it's such a mixed message. Like, how could you be at a bigger size and actually feel better about yourself?
Well, that's the thing, is like, I can't tell you the amount of days I woke up feeling so good. I was like, I've been like taking care of myself, like not even like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. It's more like I've been eating right. I've been eating in a way that feels good. I've been moving my body in a way that feels good. Like, hey, I feel good. And then I'm like, I wonder what I weigh. And I go from feeling great, feeling like I'm in a really good place, stepping on that scale, seeing a number I do not want to see, and that good mood just like plummets.
Yeah.
I don't feel good anymore. I felt like shit. I felt like, wow, what's wrong with me?
And like, why am I trying? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing all these things?
Why am I taking care of myself?
Yeah. Like, if that's all that's going to happen as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a really difficult conversation when you come face to face with the fact that realistically, I only ever got thin because I hated myself enough to make myself thin.
Yeah.
And now I have to love myself enough to release myself from that. And that's a hard pill. Like, imagine trying to sell that on a package.
Ooh,
it's
not
easy. Gain weight and find happiness. Everyone's like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no, it's really hard.
It's a hard thing.
It's still hard for me to, like, you know, gaining weight isn't easy. Gaining weight is so hard. And like, I know it's like intuitive eating, like eat with freedom, like eat whatever you want, like do whatever you want. You're going to feel great. It's going to be great. But like, it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, it is like a journey and a process. And you have to go through so much emotional baggage to like get to a place where you accept all of it. And you could actually be okay. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a day where you wake up and you don't like how your clothes fit. Like, there are good days and bad days. But knowing that it's a journey and a process, and that ultimately you're doing this because you love yourself, or even not even, like, you don't even have to fully love yourself.
No.
But you just have to like have that little thread of like, I'm doing this for me because this is what's truly good for me. Like,
It's going from there. I love the sentence that your body is not an ornament, it's an instrument. And if we remind ourselves that we are on this earth, not as like ornaments to display for each other, but actually as instruments, and our bodies are like the instrument that is going to move us through the streets. They're going to be the instrument that hugs people, that holds the hand of children. It's going to be the instrument that like brings us happiness and joy and travels and memories and these things. And when your motivation comes from how do I nourish this instrument instead of how do I make myself look more of an ornament? I think that's where everything kind of changes. And I don't know about you, but today on the beach, I was saying this in the other podcast as well, but I looked around and I realized I didn't have a single thought about my body that whole time. I was just surrounded in this moment and these memories with these other women. And I didn't even notice that people were looking. I didn't even notice, you know, the different bodies on the beach that were those ones that I used to feel that I had to cover myself up because I didn't look enough like them. And I think that's where we need to kind of talk about why it's so important to follow people like you. And I know you're too humble to say it, but you are changing the way that people are seeing themselves and experiencing joy in their bodies or even neutral thinking with their bodies, because even you've been one of like the key people for me, but also because you're such an active player in encouraging women. Like you are one of those people that I'm like, I don't think it's said enough how great you are at just encouraging other women. You always comment on people's things with such beautiful, encouraging messages. And I think it's so important that when I talk about being on the beach and not feeling those comparative things, to take note of the fact that that's because of people like you. That's because I followed the right kind of people that started to influence the way that I think. Like you're an influencer, quote unquote, as like your job, while also being a nurse and a mom and all of these other things. But you are an influencer of our thoughts, and you're an influencer of like our core systems of like what we think of ourselves in a much grander scale. So I don't know. It's honestly such a joy to kind of sit here with you. It's weird today. We were like doing our hair together and I looked at Chelsea and I said, is it weird that this doesn't feel weird? And you go, yeah, but no.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. You've just been such a supporter of me, and I've been such a cheerleader of yours over the years. And it's honestly such an honor to sit here and have this work out. This has been so cool. So let everybody know where they can find you. If you have anything exciting on the horizon that you want to give yourself some little promotion time right now.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say, first of all, like, I feel equally or even more so the same about you. Like, you are such an inspiration to me, and you are near and dear to my heart. Like, I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. Sorry. I do that.
It's okay. I know we cry a lot on this one, so it's okay. But you can find me on Instagram at choosingchelsea. I have a website. It's iamchoosingchelsea.com, because choosingchelsea.com was taken, which is just like, I'm still a little bitter about that. I'm not on Twitter because they don't have a Choosing Chelsea. Someone took it. The same girl that took the choosingchelsea.com. Like, can someone? She doesn't even use it. Anyways.
You can fight that. You can get buy back to the domain. We'll talk about that after.
We'll do that later. But I think me and my friend are actually working on our own podcast.
Oh my gosh. But like, good, because you're so great at talking.
I love talking. It's so me fun. I'm talking. We could talk forever.
I know.
I was like, I don't know how we're gonna wrap this up, because we could just go all night long. But yes, but Sarah, more than anyone knows, a podcast is a freaking like job in and of itself.
It's
a very long process. I don't know when or anything, but keep an eye out for that. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for you. You know what? As much as it is a lot of work, I will say this. It's such a growing medium, and it's such a great time to connect and hear people's stories in a much more real and raw way. I have actually loved doing this. As much as it's been like a layer on my life, it has been so cool to put down my phone and get out of square spaces and come into like real conversations, even in hotel room beds.
No, I love it. I live off of it. That's what we're doing. I think the world needs more of it.
We need some connections. So anyways, yeah, check her out. Find her on Choosing Chelsea. She's Chelsea with an S-E-A, by the way.
Like the sea, like the ocean. Yeah.
So you'll find her. And she's going to be somebody who's going to really just amp up your self-love journey. So check her out, and we'll see you next week. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of The Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.